everyone, to Renegade Radio. I'm your host, Andy Lowe. It is another Thursday here in Atlanta, and the weather is finally getting nice, cooling down. Temperatures are where we like them around this time of the year. And we're settling in with another episode where we're going to talk to some business professionals who are breaking those rules of conventional thinking, getting outside of conventional norms and doing things that are creating success in their personal lives or in their business lives or both. And today I'm going to visit with Essie Escobedo. Did I say that right, Essie?
You sure did.
All right. I was hoping that I would get that right. She is with Office Angels. And George Ishii, he is the CEO and founder of Big Results.
Really Big Results.
Really Big Results. Now, don't want to forget the really, because that's important.
That's right.
All right. Good deal. So we're going to talk a little bit with these guys and find out what they're doing that's so unique and different in the marketplace. In order to do that, I'm going to start with Essie and Office Angels. So, Essie, tell us a little bit about Office Angels. I like the visual that I get just thinking about it, but tell me who you guys are and what you do.
I started Office Angels about 12 years ago after a 25-year stint as a small business owner, and
a small business owner were you?
My husband and I own hair salons and a school
of
hair design.
Oh, very
and massage therapy.
I'm fascinated by hair because I don't have a whole lot of it anymore. No, I'm kidding.
Well,
that's my curveball.
People would ask me how's business, and I'd always answer it keeps growing.
Fair enough, or falling out. One of the two, right?
We can fix that.
You
too.
Can fix that. So anyway, so 12 years ago, you're doing that, and then you started with the Angels, and what happened from there?
Well, I saw that I couldn't find anybody who was really speaking to what I call the little people out there, the small little business owners like hair salons and heating and air guys who work solo and all these. So they were coming to me because I had a school, and I guess they figured I knew what I was doing, and started asking me questions about how to run their businesses better. And so around 2000, I decided to get rid of the hair salon business and start something fresh and new. And I had a conversation with myself, asking myself, well, what is it that I love to do? And what I love to do was mentoring people to be successful small business owners.
Now, at that time, you said people were coming to you and asking you questions. What were some of the most common things that small business owners seemed to want to know or not understand about running a business, especially these smaller businesses?
Most small business owners are the actual people who perform the work.
Okay, so we're thinking E-myth here. We've got
exactly.
The entrepreneur, the technician, and the manager. Okay,
and what they don't understand is all the rest of the stuff that needs to happen to make that business grow and be viable and ultimately generate the bottom line. So a lot of businesses go out of business only because of dysfunction and neglect.
Okay.
And they don't understand they have to keep a good set of books.
I hear and see that a lot where small businesses, they don't know how to keep the numbers, they don't know the numbers, and many times they don't understand the numbers of their business. I mean, how does that happen? Do they just get so focused on doing the work that they're just hoping that if they do, the numbers work out, or are they delusional about the numbers? I mean, what causes it?
Well, for one thing, I seem to observe that a lot of people who go into business are what I call more right-brain creative thinkers. They like big pictures. They didn't like math in school. I loved math in school. That's why I ended up with a physics degree, because I loved the math, not because I wanted to be a nuclear physicist. And so they have a natural aversion to numbers anyway. And then when you're starting your business, you really don't want to know the numbers.
The numbers can be a little scary early on.
And so it's a procrastination thing that kicks in, I think, in my opinion. So, but I feel that it's knowing how your business is doing. You have to analyze the numbers to make informed decisions, and you have to when you have an idea that you want to put into work is as a business, you have to put a business plan together, because how do you know that your business is viable? How do you know that there's anybody who wants to buy what you have to sell, or that you can even make any money at it? And a lot of people don't do that. They don't go through those steps. And they only find out very sadly on several years later when they have a humongous pile of debt and their dreams have been shattered that, gee whiz, this was not such a great idea after all.
Well, let's carve through this idea of the numbers for just a second, because I want to make sure that we break this down right, because maybe some of the small businesses out there that listen to the show are thinking, well, I have a CPA, so I probably have what I need. But at the same time, my thought is many CPAs, not all, but many, don't focus on big picture financials. They simply focus on taxes. And therefore, that leaves the bookkeeping and the financial strategy piece kind of off to the side. Am I right in my thinking there?
Absolutely. I had the good fortune early on in my business career of hooking up with my CPA, who ended up being a lifelong mentor and friend, and who I attribute to teaching me everything that I needed to know about how to run a successful business. But I found out that he is exceptional. He's a teacher at heart. And when I would make appointments to go see Mike, I knew that I was going to be there for the whole afternoon. So I carved it out, because I knew that I was getting an education from this guy. And it, sadly enough, because of the complexity of the tax code, a lot of CPAs don't have much time to do much else than to just crank out tax returns. But in part of what I do is I encourage our clients to put their trusted advisory team together, a small business attorney who you're going to call not after you get yourself in hot water, a CPA who's going to teach you how to analyze your financials and help make strategic, informed decisions about how to grow your business, not just bring your stuff once a year to file forms for the government. That's not what you need. And your business coach, other advisors who are there on your team. It's absolutely imperative that you find a CPA that is going to hold hands with you, understands your business, is going to keep you out of hot water, because most of the time you're putting out fires instead of growing your business. Lots of clients that we serve, they come to us because they got an audit notice from the sales tax department, and they don't have financials. So we help put them together. We're not CPAs. My angels are professionals who have left the full-time workforce. They have an incredible amount of real-world experience, education. They are part of what I call the at-home workforce. They may be semi-retired. They may have left to decide to focus on raising their families, care for an elderly parent, what have you. And they want to continue to work, but they need to work on their own terms. So I basically serve as a broker or an agent or a matchmaker and reach out to small business clients and help them define those areas that they need help with. The bookkeeping is probably top on the list. I say small business owners, it's like to do their books is like taking them to go in for a root canal. and the marketing is another big area where people go to networking events and they come up back with a pile of cards and they put them on the pile and then they'll say, okay, later. And a week or a month later, they say, I don't even remember who this person is or why I took the card. So that's the end of that. And they should be building a database for marketing purposes. So we help with that.
Okay. So yeah, that's, I'm glad you brought that up because I didn't want to put you in the pigeonhole of, hey, we just do, you know, bookkeeping and accounting stuff. You do marketing services, you know, is it sales process? I know you do some strategy planning type stuff.
We've got a very, very broad range of services that we can offer to our clients because I have angels.
Yeah, that was an interesting thing that you said. So you are basically a talent collector, it sounds like. You go out and you collect people that have skill sets and talents that want to work. And I like that idea, on their terms, which means, you know, especially today, that means I can telecommute. I don't have to be necessarily in an office somewhere. I might even be able to manage activities for more than one company.
Absolutely. The way I conceived my business is I'm enabling these individuals to basically go into business for themselves. And I said to myself, well, what's the two hardest things that anybody can do when they go into business? Number one is get business. Number two, get paid. So I said, well, I can do that part. I can go out and bring the business to my workforce and help facilitate the match because I understand small business. And I can talk very candidly and openly with the client and match him up with the right, not only the skill set or the logistics, but also the most important thing is probably the personality fit. Are these two people going to be able to work well together? And then stay in the background. I have a real vested interest in making sure all the campers are happy. So if there are any issues that need to be addressed, I'm there as a mediator, intermediator. You know, do whatever I have to do to make that relationship successful. And
so it's less expensive than going out and hiring somebody in house, and it sounds like it's more personal than outsourcing.
Oh, absolutely. It's very, very hands-on. And most of our clients do not need a full-time or even a part-time employee.
And is the fee for this, is it by angel or is it by total hours in a month? I mean, how's the structure of this set up?
I developed a questionnaire where I get good input from my angels as to what would make a good fit for them. Not only the type of work, but their schedule and their price point. And I pretty much know what the market will bear. Then I have that same conversation with my client and say, okay, I need to understand your needs, your pain points, stuff that's not happening. And then I put the two together where I add a markup, and that will vary. Since it's only me, I get to make the decisions on what that is.
Right.
But because it's a referral-based business, intentionally, you get the best clients that way. And they come already. They're ready to rock and roll. You don't need to sell them. They're in pain. They need help, and we can get right to work.
Is that how you go to market? Is it mostly referral based? Because I'm thinking getting 5 minutes in front of a small business owner who's doing it all themselves has to be a challenge.
Not really, because my marketing department are my clients, and my angels, of course.
Right,
but primarily my clients. They spread the word. And I'm very sensitive to the fact that they say, oh, yeah, this is how much I'm paying. it's a passion of mine to serve the little tiny businesses that nobody else wants to really mess with or bother with. I say our clients are kind of whiny, cranky, high maintenance. They need a lot of nurturing and hand-holding, but they represent, what, 80% of all the businesses out there? It's huge. Mm-hmm. It's huge. And I said, if only these so many of these small business owners are making money despite themselves. I said, look at the potential if we can only help them get their act together and get some infrastructure going on. And instead of spending your time putting out all these fires, thriving on chaos and dysfunction, you could actually get some order going on so that they can really focus on growing their business.
Makes sense. So, Essie, if I'm a small business owner out there and I'm the technician, I'm doing it all by myself, and I don't know my numbers and I need some help somewhere, and maybe I don't even know where I need help, but I know I need something, how can I go about reaching out to you and finding out if Office Angels might be a good fit for me?
Just go to officeangels.us.
All right. Well, fair enough. So I want to bring you back in here in a little bit, and I think some of the things that you've shared with us are going to tie in well with our next guest. So can you hang out for a few minutes while we visit with George?
Sure. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. So, George, let's get you up on the microphone there and tell us a little bit about these really big results. What is that about, and what is it that you do?
Well, it's thanks very much. It actually ties into the Office Angel type concept, because one of my favorite expressions that I was taught was, if it's not your genius, it's not your job. And what I found, you know, my background has been in sales and marketing, and I had my own marketing company, still do, called Plumtree Marketing. What I found with most mid to small business owners is they, you know, don't want to spend time on marketing and sales because they don't know how to do it. They don't know how to make it work. It's an inconvenience. It's a struggle. And what they really want to do is be in the business of what they're in. You know, they want to be in the radio business or the office, your part-time Office Angel solutions and those things. So I was in the model of helping small businesses systematize their marketing sales to shorten it. And then I just found out they didn't even want to do that. All they wanted was somebody, well, just go do it for me. So I got nice, hot, qualified leads so I can spend more time on closing and implementing the marketing and selling. So,
well, that does tie in really well to what Essie was saying, because when you got if you've got a technician, you've got somebody, they're good at what they do and they like what they do, but yeah, going out and getting the business in the door, that's not what they do.
Yeah, they hate it.
Right.
You know, they despise it. They're frustrated.
And, of course, our solution is, suck it up, Buttercup. Just go do it anyway, right?
Yeah, I mean, their tools that they have out there are things like, paid advertising, or the good lowest hanging fruit is referrals, but then they got to do, you know, the dreaded cold calling or networking or social media, and it's like, just let me go install tires, or if I'm in the tire business. And so I decided that what I really need to do was to create an automated system, kind of like a global solution, where instead of them going out to try to find people through this random shotgun method, let's create a system where people can raise their hand and say, I'm interested now in what you have, and let me learn about you without having to go talk to that pesky salesman first, and let me find out why you're so good. And then when I do that, then I'll come to you and buy what you want. And that's how we all buy anyway. So what I did, I created a system that's believe it or not, it's a free system that people can use to do this. And you build the story one time, and then you just drive people to it and let them hear it over and over and over again. Instead of you having to meet with people face-to-face, one-on-one, now you can have 5, 10, or 1,000 hearing why you're so great, and then when they're ready and love you, then they can raise their hand, and then you can spend more time on closing the deal and implementing your product or service, which your ultimate goal anyway as a small business owner.
Now, can you pull the curtain back a little bit and tell us a little more about how that system would work?
I have a little dog behind a curtain.
I know, right? Turning the crank.
Actually, what we do on the site, on the internet now, people's attention span is really short, 3 to 7 minutes. So what we do, we have a system where somebody can take, let's take your sales pitch, for example, and I'll just digress for a quick second. But if I went on a sales call with just about any business owner on 5 different days, on 5 different prospects, I'd probably get 5 different versions of what their story or their company is. And everybody knows it because they're winging it. So now let's build and create that automated sales pitch. So when they go on that first call, they're going to spend 60 to 90% of that time doing what? Educating them, right? All about what they need to know, how to get the best deal, how to weed out the competitors, why they're so great. Well, the customer really doesn't have to be face-to-face with you to do that, do they? All they're looking for is information. They're randomly hunting for that information on Google and through friends and through newspapers and all these random methods. So our approach is, well, let's get it together, find out that information that they need, and then automate that into a pitch. Now, when you go into that networking event, they say, what do? I do X, Y, Z. I have a free course online that tells you all about it and how to get the best deal. Go take my course, and when you're done, I'll be happy to follow up with you about your situation. Here's the link. Now, what does that do for somebody? It automatically separates them from the competition, correct? Now that technician, he didn't have to go into this big sales pitch and get all wired out about it. Just go take the link, and when you're done, I'll be happy to talk to you about your business. And now they can go through it, and in that course, he would chop that up into, we call it 7 steps to really big results. And we guide you through, and you build it once, and it tells them all the things that they need to know in little bite-sized chunks. And then we have a patent pending on an accountability process that holds them accountable. And then when they get done, then we send you a link and say, now this person knows all about you and why they're so great. Follow up with them and now help them with what you provide.
Who holds who accountable?
The consumer, the person is trying to get that information. So it's your prospect. Okay, so for example, the 7 steps, you would first maybe do a short intro into who you are and why you're so great. Then the second one is what are the problems in the industries that you got to look out for. The third step is you want to answer what are all the consequences and the pain points that are really important to that buyer. Number four is how do you solve that, A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Number five is here's some testimonials to back up why you're so good. Number six, here's all the FAQs and all the objections you're going to get. Why don't you give it to them right up front? And number seven, here's your call to action. And so when you automate that and plug it into your business, now you have a system. And now you have a way to spend less time on sales and marketing and more time on closing and implementing. And that's what you want, right? That's why you want to do business.
Well, that makes sense. So does this, have you seen evidence that this shortens the sales cycle, keeps it about the same?
Well, absolutely. It'll actually shorten the sales cycle because you're not doing that first sales call anymore. And you're not doing it, let's say you had 100 prospects. How long would it take you to give your pitch and go meet with somebody face-to-face for 100 prospects? Now you can have those 100 taking it at their own time, as slow or fast as they want with this accountability tool. And I'll explain that in a second because that's the secret sauce that the dog's yanking on the leg, as you mentioned. But if now they can all take it online at their own pace, then you're only dealing with them when they're finished and know all about you and why you're so great. That clearly will shorten your sales time. It'll shorten your marketing cost. And hopefully in our global package where you'll eventually be able to get leads out of our system, we hope to drive your marketing costs close to near to zero as it can get. And that's really what the ultimate goal is, to get really big results.
There's some marketing people out there listening to the show right now that are not fired up about what they're hearing here.
Well, actually, believe it or not, it's just the opposite. The marketing folks can now implement these same services to present their services and their skills to these people and drive more clients to them too. We actually are putting together consulting service to show the marketing people how to market their business and automate it.
Well, that's the question. Is this a rebrandable system, or is it something proprietary? In other words, if I'm a marketing person, can I take this, standardize this solution, this secret sauce, and can I go out and through a licensing agreement or something else, rebrand it, repurpose it, and distribute it to my clients?
Well, you can use it for free. Absolutely. There's no charge to use it. The way we work, if it's a free product or course, then it's free for everybody. If you have selling a product, like we market to 3 areas, to business owners, like for this automated sales pitch. The second is to authors, content owners who sell books, tapes, or courses. We can sell those, and we mark those up for the delivery and accountability, and we keep the markup, and they get their full list on their book. And also the consumers who want better results, because how many of us all have on our shelf somewhere at home this dusty shelf with all these books, tapes, courses, and seminars with the best intentions that we wanted to get and get the results, but we never started, never finished. The scary result is even in the professional speaker industry, 87% of the people never start and never finish. And that's a problem.
Yeah, I can see how that could be. So with this process and with this system, if I'm looking to implement it in, what about, I get the idea that I'm telling the message to the person who's coming to look at it. What about information gathering? I thought I heard you mention a piece in there where they're talking about their problems and their challenges. And we hear this a lot where people are coming in on our shows and saying, we have salespeople show up that have no understanding of our company, who we are, what our needs are. Consumers are doing their homework. Salespeople are just, in many cases, not. Does this tool help me in that homework? Is it gathering information that's going to be useful for me when I do reach back out after it's over with?
That's a great question, because what happens, you look at your buyers, they're looking for enough information so they can talk intelligently with the salespeople. If they don't, they're not going to get a good deal at the end, and that's what's really important to them. So when you position and get the right information that they need to know, and you're the content owner that's educating them, what are your chances being included in that bid process when they're done and now they know how to get the best deal from you or anybody? Think of it as developing your own Cliff Notes or a consumer report for your business, for a consumer. You know, that's what they're looking for. And then when they know that, now they want to sit down and talk to you about how you solve their individual needs. So, for example, with Office Angels, I may go out and shop around to find out where can I get some help for my small business. But if I could go get all the information from Office Angels on a free course that told me everything to do and what questions to ask the competitors that they don't do, and I could get that all one place quickly and get it at my own pace, you know, clearly I want the information. So this is a nice central repository where everybody can promote their own business, and then we cross-pollinate among the group.
Now, you mentioned that this is a free tool.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's a free tool, George, you got to ask the question, how do you make money?
Perfect. Everybody asks that. And the way we do it, we actually make money five different ways. One is through consulting services to help you pull that information out of yourself and get it into a system and then load it into the free system so it works for life for free after that. Second is, if you have a paid product, we'll mark the paid product up. So if you sell a book for $10, we'll mark it up to $15. The end user pays $15. We collect the $15 and hand you $10 back and keep $5. And we found that most people, it's not the price they pay, it's the results they want. They'll pay a little bit more for the delivery and accountability. The third way is we have an advertising model, obviously, into the system. The fourth way is we can private label it to large organizations for all their internal training. And fifth, we have an affiliate model. So if somebody, they only use it for a free tool to drive leads, and then they say at every lesson, click here to go buy my product, and they go over there, you might have an affiliate system that we reciprocate back and forth, but that's not the main goal. The goal is globally to help people automate their business so they spend less time on sales and marketing.
Okay, well, that makes a lot of sense. So I'm thinking about how do you get this out? I mean, how do you go to market and tell business owners, hey, I've got this system available that you guys need to be implementing so that you can have a standardized process and cut down sales and marketing?
Well, we're actually almost in completion with our own 7 Steps to Really Big Results course that we'll drive people to. And we'll use social media. We'll use all the other tools that we're going to be teaching people to use. So we're the example. And then we'll drive people to go take our own example and say, pay attention and duplicate exactly what we did for your business. It'll be really easy to see.
All right, I'm excited that you answered that way. I mean, you'd be amazed. Sometimes you have people that come in and go, we've got this great product, service, whatever, that does this great thing, and it's going to help you increase operations, efficiency, results, whatever. Well, how do you do that? Oh, we do it this complete other way. We don't follow our own methodology at all. We don't use our own product.
It's called eat your own dog food, I think the phrase was.
I think that's the phrase, right? I've heard a few people say eat your own cooking. I guess they're a little uncomfortable with the dog food, but I grew up with the other analogy. I don't know. Maybe it's because we ate dog food as a kid. I don't know. So, you ever eat dog food as a kid, George? You don't have to answer that on there. So tell me this. You talked about the accountability piece of that. I mean, take me back to that, because I love that word accountability, and I know Essek brought it up earlier and was talking about it, and she may want to jump back in here in a minute. But what do you mean by accountability? You said you're putting it out there on the consumer, and even earlier you mentioned that you put the accountability back in learning. Maybe you can explain that to us.
It came back to the same story we all have lived with, so it's a common denominator among us all. Do you remember back in high school and you came home and you're procrastinating, and all of a sudden your mom yelled at you and said, like, George, have you done your homework? George, have you done your homework? George, wait till your father gets home, and then you go do your homework, right? So we took that same common denominator, and for example, now if you signed up for one of the courses, we have one like how to remember people's names, which everybody needs to know, right? It's a free course. So we send you the first email with it, and you listen to a short audio on it. And at the bottom of it, we embed four links at the bottom of it. And all you have to do is give us, click one of the links. I don't care what you click. Click something to show us you're still engaged. So you can click, yes, I did it. And if you did, tomorrow you get lesson two. If you're distracted or procrastinate, you click, no, I didn't finish it. And tomorrow it sends you number one again. So you can control it. Or you can say, press continue. It'll fast forward lesson two. And you can take as many or the whole course in one sitting if you're anxious. Or you can pause it. But I know that if I can keep anybody involved by clicking something, they're going to eventually get through and get the results, right? So if they ignore it and start to procrastinate, then the system pauses and you get a reminder. It says, hey, Andy, you didn't do your homework. Click here to get back on track. Get out. Now it forces you into decision. If you ignore that after two or three reminders, now guess what happens? It now pauses again and sends a note to the owner and says, here's this person, Elsa. She's on lesson number three. She hadn't responded to three reminders. Here's your contact information. Follow up and see what's going on. So next thing you know, you're emailing her, calling her, going, hey, I've been monitoring your success, and I see that you're stuck. What do we need to do to get you back on track? Do you need to upgrade to my next paid product? Do you need to get back on track? Or what can we do? Because Elsa, because it's all about your results, right? It's just like when mom got you, dad got home, it's like, gotcha, okay, now I'll take action. And that's, you know, they spell action wrong. It's spelled A-C-T-I-O-N. All they have to do is move the I to the front and says, I act on. And that's really what we're doing is the accountability. And that's what separates us from all the millions of training tools out there today. And we actually have a patent pending on that accountability process. So it's pretty powerful.
So if someone out there is listening thinking that they need this type of process in their business because they're truly winging it when it comes to sales and marketing and they'd rather be doing what they actually do rather than out there on the front trying to drive in the business, then how would they go about finding out more information and getting into this process and learning about what you guys do at Really Big Results?
It's really easy. They just go to reallybigresults.com, and in the lowest common denominator, we actually offer a free newsletter service as part of it. And everybody goes, what's the catch? Well, there's no catch. It's truly free, unlimited emails. You have to invite your people into it because it's an opted-in solution, but you just invite them in, and now you have a free newsletter service. So as you start to grow and populate, you now have another free tool to help communicate them. So no longer do you have to pay for Constant Contact or Eye Contact or, you know, MailChimp's one of the best because they'll do, you know, up to like 2,000 emails, and then they start charging you. But you can do unlimited emails to us. So they can go register, they double opt in, and what we recommend is just go take a couple free courses, like maybe that Remember People's Names, for an example, and experience it for yourself, and then you can reach back out to us and say, how do you help us? And we have a wizard, you can build your own, or we can coach you through it.
All right.
So thanks for asking.
Yeah, well, glad you were able to share that with us. I want to bring Essie back into the conversation now, and I want to talk about a subject that I know both of you brush up against. George, you mentioned something about speakers earlier and not really, you know, going all the way through the process. And Essie, I know you've got a service, if I am correct, with Office Angels, where you actually help speakers with getting their profiles together, their kind of marketing package, and then actually reaching out and contacting speaking engagements. Is that right?
Yes, we put the program together based on demand. Many of our clients have published a book as part of their marketing strategy to promote the services that they offer, and they're looking for opportunities to go before an audience and do their thing. And we primarily focus on non-paid speaking, although we do have some we're not a speakers bureau per se. What we do is we have packages where we can do the research, find out the speaking opportunities that are best suited to the speaker's goals in terms of reaching their particular audience, and from that we shape the one page, the intro, the bio, the little blurb that goes into the eBlast for the speaker, the takeaways, all of the marketing materials that are necessary to book that speaker. And then the third step would be to actually work that targeted list of opportunities and book the engagements, and then take care of the project management part from the time that the booking is made until the speaker actually does the presentation. So we do have that offering, and put together a dynamite team that takes care of all of that. And that's what we do.
Now, George, if I understand, you've got some systems and things that can help these speakers once they get this engagement as well, right? I mean, they have a problem with, hey, I do this free speaking thing, but I'm not going to sell anything, right? So I'm going home. I didn't come in with any money, and I'm not going home with any money. But that's a problem.
Well, yes, it is. But really what they're doing is trying to educate people. That's why they speak. If they're doing free speaking, they're trying to educate them and provide added value that they need to know to show their expertise, correct? And from their expertise, then they say, well, maybe then I'll go buy their books, tapes, or bring them in for a paid gig. And so by automating that stuff, now they could, let's say they went in and spoke and they recorded a one-hour pitch. What if they broke that pitch up and now put it on the web instead of now having to go to another event? They can now publicize that through social media and say, hey, take this free course, and they can make it worldwide availability. So it creates massive leverage for them, you know, and that's how they can do their work while they sleep. And who doesn't want that job?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's an interesting thing you said about the educate. You know, we've heard that term a lot in the recent years. Everybody is into education. I don't sell, I educate. I don't know. I mean, has that become PC? I'm just curious your guys' opinion on that. Has it become PC not to sell? You know, I'm an educator, but at the end of the day, nobody makes any money if they don't sell anything, right? So where's the line? Where do we get out of this gray area, and where do we actually do something for a profit versus, well, you know, I'm just being a nice guy?
Well, my dad was in sales, and he was super. He was a great salesperson. In the hair world, hairdressers are artists. They're not salespeople. But yes, they are. Everybody sells. We all sell. Every single person on the planet sells who they are, what they do. But it's got sort of a bad connotation, the word sales. So my definition is, you're learning about what the needs are, and then you're fulfilling those needs in some way for someone else. So call it what you want. Call it sales, call it education. It's really reaching out to other people and being in tune with what their needs are and seeing if you can somehow satisfy those needs.
I think that's it, isn't it? I mean, could we agree on that? That it's not that the problem that selling is such a bad thing. It's the bad rap comes when people are trying to get people to buy something they don't need or want.
Well, I think a lot of it has to do with the person who's out there is not doing it with a full heart. They're just going through the paces, and they don't really believe in themselves or what they're putting out there.
I'd like to add that because after, you know, 20-plus years in training salespeople and stuff, my definition of sales was it's simply getting somebody to use your idea over theirs. And if you think about it, you know, if my wife says, let's go over to this restaurant over here, and I go, no, I heard that's not bad, there's one over here. She had an idea, I had an idea, and whoever had the bad deal walks away. Well, you think about it, your customer, they already have an idea how to solve their need. They tried to solve it themselves, but they couldn't. Now they're looking for an expert to help them. But the education part is the marketing part to bring them up to speed, because the fear of salespeople is if I don't have the knowledge, when I get to, we use the educational spectrum from A to Z, from A to R is education, S is when you talk to the salesperson, and Z is when you hand over the money. And if you don't have the knowledge to the salesperson, you've already made the decision to buy at S, and then the last ones, you get your three bids, you narrow them down and find the best deal. And then you buy from where you get the best deal, and the best deal is typically, it's not the highest, it's not the lowest, it's right in the middle and just a little bit low the middle. That's the sweet spot you're looking for. So you need knowledge to know where that is. So when we say we're an educator, the guy that gives me the knowledge of how to get to that sweet spot, that's who I want to get included in my bids and who I'm probably going to buy from, because that's where the trust comes from. You look at a reference can be a total stranger that gives you that information, and it's not the person that gives it, it's the knowledge that they have to help you get the best deal. That's the key.
Yeah, it seems like the trend in today is there needs to, in the education side, there needs to be more discovery, more questions, whereas education, as I hear it oftentimes, is just the sales guy talking. And people are educated already. They've done their homework. They come into a sales situation, and they've already done the research. So regurgitating what they already know isn't helpful, but helping them, I like what you said, use your idea over theirs, that's more of a discovery process.
Right, and you have to discover it. And the challenge is, even on that first sales call, you're still spending 60 to 90% of that time bringing them up to speed, because they think they're educated, but to get to the common ground, they still got to give them a lot more education that they're looking for. I mean, they're randomly getting it on Google and this, and you don't know how good their information is on Google that they found. They'll get as much as they can until their problem says, I got to make a decision. And the fear that they come into about salespeople is, I don't have enough of that knowledge yet. Now I'm vulnerable. But if I'm educated and I've got my guns loaded and I walk into that car dealer with three quotes on the internet and all the questions and stuff to ask, you now have power, because you're not going to get the worst deal. So it all comes back to that. The knowledge is, give me enough knowledge so I can talk to the salesperson so they're not going to take advantage of me. Because if you don't have the knowledge, a lot of salespeople will take advantage of you, and they get the best deal, not you.
Makes sense. And then even when all the knowledge is present, Essie, how often do you see that they've got all the information, they've been well-educated, but just as a small business owner, sometimes it can be difficult to make the hard decisions?
Oh, yeah. It's a very hard decision, and I understand that. And for many of our clients, it's the first time they're actually taking off a hat, and that's, you know, it's your baby, and to let go of part of it is huge. And so I say, hey, let's take baby steps. You just have to start somewhere. And I say that we have to earn our clients' trust, and we also have to pretty much train them the way we want them to behave.
Right.
So we start with baby steps. We don't have any minimums. We say, okay, you need, and that's the niche that we're filling, that 3 to 5 hour a week niche of, and it can go up from there, of course. But I say, we're going to demonstrate to our client that our services more than pay for themselves. And then, of course, they'll buy more. The letting go part is saying, okay, part of that is putting processes and procedures in place so that, I said, the whole object is, if we do our work well, we will work ourselves out of a job, because we are helping to impose an infrastructure on which that business can grow and have a solid foundation, and it will get to the place where they'll need to hire employees. But how can you hire someone if you don't have a job description, if you don't have a procedure for them to follow? That's what we help those business owners do, is think big picture instead of just very myopic thinking about, oh my God, I got to get this form filled out and sent off with my sales tax tomorrow or else.
Right. Well, and it seems like that the underlying theme today that we've connected with both of you guys to tie into that idea of getting out of the conventional norms, the conventional thought process in business, seems to be do it yourself, do it on your own. And we've been taught that approach. I mean, you know, when I was in school, I was taught, you know, do it on your own. You know, I tried the team approach to school. I called it collaboration. They called it cheating. Potatoes. I don't know. Anyway, they frowned upon it. So, but the idea is that that we don't have to do it on our own. We can bring in other resources, and even at the very small level, it's still manageable. It's still affordable, and these systems are critical to moving our business forward.
I think one other point is that the world shifted more from getting away from the process to looking at the results. Because, I mean, people, they panic over price, right? And I tell folks, I said, okay, well, what are your buying cost $100,000? Is that a lot? And they go, yeah. And I go, well, what if every time you ran it, it produced $1 million? And they go, oh. So it's not the price, it's the value that you're getting from it. And that's really what, if you get them focused on that and they have the confidence and they can see that you can produce the results, then that's what they need.
It's also critical to go back, Essie, to what you said. You got to know your numbers, because you got to know that that million is possible off the 100,000.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, if you don't know where you're going, you're getting there.
And with that, let's wrap up with some contact information. So one more time, Essie, if someone is looking to engage Office Angels, how would they get in touch with you and find out more?
They can call me, 770-442-9246. They can visit our website, officeangels.us, and email me, Essie@officeangels.us.
And George, one more time, if I'm looking for really big results, where do I go to get them?
Just go to our website, reallybigresults.com, and take a free course. If you need to contact me, I'm happy to talk to you about your business and give some free coaching to, or some guidance, maybe is a better word. My direct line is 770-352-0662. That's 770-352-0662.
Fantastic. Guys, thank you so much for coming on the show today and sharing your time and all this information with our listeners. We really do appreciate it, having you here.
Great.
Thank you.
To everyone listening, thanks for tuning in to Renegade Radio. Tune in each and every week as we visit with business owners and professionals who are breaking the rules of conventional thinking, stepping outside of those norms to create success in their personal lives and or their business. Tune in here and learn how they're doing it. And remember, opportunity lies in the impossible, but you have to be willing to break the rules of conventional thinking. Until next time.